Join Kristen Ace in conversations about shifting our perspective and being more connected in a conscious way with the earth, each other, and ourselves. Share in the laughter, light, and illumination of Good Vibrations.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Good Vibrations with Kristen. Megan, my producer, hi, and I have been sitting in the studio chatting, talking, and talking about my guest who's coming later on in the podcast, Samantha Jones, and how much she helps people be their authentic selves. And so Megan,
and that's huge.
Oh,
and that's, I mean, we really should have been recording what we just talked about. Because we had such an intense, I mean, I'm like all jazzed and lit up because
right.
it goes to the core of so much of what you're about.
Well, it does, but also, how do we find our authentic selves? I mean, that's really hard.
Yeah.
For I spent years and years searching because I received such mixed messages when I was young and messages that said, really
put that away.
Yes. That's making everyone uncomfortable, Kristen.
Yeah, I got similar messages because I was the one that was, you know, sort of like, you know, the emperor has no clothes. The emperor has no clothes. They're like, oh, just
shh, yeah. Don't tell anybody. And that's what my friend Donna and I talk a lot about. Like, people don't want to be told that the emperor has no clothes.
No.
And I've never been great at saying, oh, isn't that lovely? I'm never, that's me going, wait, what?
There's a picture. You and I are a lot alike that way.
I know. There's a picture of me with my two brothers and my little sister, and we're all standing there in those, you know, old fashioned, you know, 60s clothes or whatever. And I think I was like 3 or 4.
And I've got this close. Does that mean they were like bell bottoms with the
stripes?
Just
a whole different kind of family picture than you would have today, right?
Big collars.
Yes, exactly.
And nylon.
I'm sitting there and there's a look on my face and my husband goes, like, even then, Kristen, you were saying, excuse me, but what is my motivation? Why do I have to be standing here smiling at this man who's taking my picture?
I'm snorting and laughing because that's, you know, you're an actress.
Right. I need to know why.
Why am I here? The eternal question.
Yes. Why am I here?
Yeah.
Ooh, and for me,
that got heavy suddenly.
I know. I'm sorry. But for me, for a long time, I felt like I knew why I was here up until I turned 6. And then I went, oh, no, this isn't working out the way I was thinking or the way I was told it was going to work out or the way I thought it was going to work out when I came down here.
Right.
It got a little wacky after the age of 6.
Isn't that funny? You know, when I was 4 years old, I had this very clear image of having been discarnate as a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember looking up at my dad and saying, how come I don't remember who I was? And when I die, will I remember who I am this time? And he just looked at me, rolled his eyes, and kept walking.
Go away. Yeah. Please stop talking. I feel like most of my life, my family's going, please stop talking.
See, I think we knew. I think we knew as children.
We did know. We did. My girlfriend Dawn said to me the most beautiful thing once. She said, we were born, you know, knowing, and we were born knowing and had no fear. And then we were taught to fear the things that we knew and we forgot them. And now we're on our way back.
Yeah.
To that remembering of the authentic self.
Back to the light, back to the light.
And thankfully, we don't have to die to do that anymore. Because I think there was a time when, as souls, we went, yeah, I'm good. I'm checking out. I got to go back to my real self. And I can't do it in this human form. But I think
that's part of the spiritual evolution that's going on, is that people are connecting and remembering. It's this remembering process. Oh, wow, this is what I really am. I'm a cool ball of light.
Like, that's right.
Hanging around this body.
And that doesn't mean, to me, it doesn't mean that you have to, I struggled for so much of my life of thinking I have to be a certain thing to be important. When what I've really come to understand is just simply by being Kristen Ace, that's it. All the other stuff that I do that I believe helps the world, helps the earth, helps people, helps animals, helps insects, all of that, that's fabulous. But at the core, there's only one me. And that's what really matters. And that's what I think people, I'm just really excited for people to start really understanding that.
Well, and it seems like there's no judgment there, you right. know, about just being.
Right.
Like, if you really just want to sit in that chair and meditate for, you know, whatever.
Well, look what the monks do, right?
Yeah,
the
exactly.
monks do that, and nobody tells them they're, you know, hey, look, you're just sitting around on your ass meditating. Go do something, right?
Who decided we had to be super productive all the time? It gets a little old. But I think... They're really, I had a wonderful spiritual teacher, Jean Brookwell, who I think you knew Jean.
Oh, yes, I did.
And Jean used to really drive it home
right.
that we didn't have to do anything.
Right.
Because so often when I'm uncomfortable, I want to change, I want to do, right. I want to fix. And
organize, fix it, make it better.
Yep, make it better. And she would say, just sit with it. Sit with the discomfort.
Right.
You know, and she would constantly, you know, chime in with Pema Chodron quotes and things, which were really
like, okay, thank you.
Horrifying. Yeah, because it was all about like sitting in the pain, and I didn't want to do it.
No.
But I'll tell you, the more that I practice just being
right.
and not judging,
right,
the more I find that everything's really okay.
That's right.
And I get in touch with that part of myself, you know, the ball of light, cool self.
Right.
That is really like doesn't need to do the dishes really right,
right
this second. I mean, it'll get done.
It'll get done. That's
you
right.
know, it isn't about being a happy vegetable, but it's about putting perspective in things.
Well, it's also about being with every task. And I've read a lot of things, particularly from Technahan, about peace in every step, in every breath, doing the dishes in a mindful way. And I got to tell you, when the kids were toddlers,
yeah,
I was having a real hard time doing the dishes and being grateful. But if I look around at my world and I think how lucky I am that I have clean water and that I have, that doesn't mean that my issues don't matter, but I have to put in order to find peace and happiness within myself, I have to put it all in a perspective where it makes sense.
Well, and I guess that's part of what you're doing here with this show.
Right.
Is helping not only to raise the vibration by helping each person find that part of themselves that reconnects and
that matters
in. And I really think it's important.
Thank you. I do too. I think it's really important that people know that there's only one of them, and that their whatever they bring to this earth, that package of themselves is in itself divine.
Oh, it's so nice. I was thinking about my little package. I was like, can I lose like 40 pounds in my package?
Yes, you can if you want to.
I know. Someday. But you see, that's the stuff. That's the stuff.
Yeah,
that
that's
we place
the stuff.
On ourselves,
plus,
right?
It's like, oh my God, I don't look like that model in the magazine of the blah, blah, blah. And I've seen other 50-year-old women right. who blah, 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 blah. And then I start going, well, there must be something wrong with me. And that's when my higher self finds some fabulous way to go, there's nothing wrong with you. You're perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you came here to be Kristen Ace. That's what I tell my kids. You came here to be Landon. You came here to be Miranda. So be that being to the utmost of your life.
I wish you were my mom. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I love my mother.
I love my mother too.
My mom, and she taught me some very extremely valuable lessons. And one of the things she did right was she was really strong in teaching me to be an individual.
Yes.
And to not judge others.
Yeah.
And these were big lessons that I don't think everybody was getting. I mean,
no.
She missed a couple of other items, but she hit some really strong, important notes that helped formulate part of you know, the gooder. Ooh, the gooder parts of me. Apparently not the English type.
No, that was for my father to do. It wasn't. But no, that's right. And back in the times when our parents were growing up, those lessons weren't being shelled out so easily. Like, I definitely grew up in a home where there were no prejudices.
Yeah.
And that was unusual.
Yeah.
My parents did talk a lot about being individual, but it made them uncomfortable at the same time. So, but my mother did show me how, when I was, you know, really getting the crap beat out of me, how to honor myself and not let that destroy me, not let that those experiences define me.
Go, mom.
Yeah, I'm very grateful to her for that. I have that lesson is one of my favorite memories of her, of how she helped me
and
through that.
And your mother's still alive.
She is.
Yay.
And I'm very blessed. I love my mother very much. Well, are we ready for the conversation with Samantha Jones, or how are we doing?
I'm looking forward to that.
I am too.
We've got like 5 minutes.
Oh.
So.
Well, then let me tell you the story about my mom.
Perfect. I was just thinking she must have a story about mom.
I got tons of stories about mom, but this is the one that helped me be my authentic self in a really horrible time in my life. So
perfect.
I was getting really just beat up like every day. And
literally?
Every day. Brutally. Bad stuff. And one particular time it was bad enough where I'm lucky I walked out of there with no broken bones and stuff. And I had decided, I'm not going back. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to leave home and I'm going to quit school. So I came downstairs. And, you know, back in those days, you know, my parents are, dad's drinking his beers, my mom's drinking her scotch, and they're watching the evening news. And I said, and this is after particularly this brutal attack, and I came downstairs and I stood there for a while, and then I went, I just want you to know that I'm leaving. I'm not going back to school, and I'm leaving home, and you can't stop me. And my mother was real quiet, and then she said, and my mom's real matter of fact, she said, no, Kristen, no, we can't stop you. We can't make you do anything. And then she looked at me and she said, but you want to be an actress. And to be an actress, you need an education. So to get an education, you have to go to school. And then I was like, oh my God, what if she's right? Because you know when you're 15, I was 15. Like, what if she's right? What if I can't actually... And so I just started to cry because I was so overwhelmed with, you know, all these bruises and bloody scratches, and I was scared and I was lost and I was really alone. And I just sat there and cried. I sat on the piano bench and everybody was quiet. You know, the news was going, rah, 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 rah. And then mom looked at me and she said, you know what I think you should do? I think that you should go into your closet and all those beautiful clothes that you've hidden away. Because I used to get beat up because I wore pretty clothes and high heels and stuff. Aww. So I stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got to be so not me, and maybe they won't hurt me, which it didn't work anyway. Because so not me meant that I would have to die because who I was coming out of my every essence. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter what I dressed like. Mm-hmm. She said, I think you need to go into your closet. You get those beautiful clothes back out. You get your high heels. I'll help you cover up those bruises and the scratches as best we can. And you go back to school tomorrow. And you show them that they can't beat you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
I did do that. I went back to school that next day, and I wore my beautiful clothes, and we covered up most of it. I mean, it was just, like, brutal, so couldn't get all of it. And, I mean, I'm telling you, walked in that school, and people were like, oh, my God, I can't believe she's here. Can you see it? Oh, she's here, she's here, she's here, she's here.
Right, right.
And I walked down the hall, and I was so scared. And I saw those girls that had, you know, had participated in that particular beating. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to have to just keep walking and just see what happens. And, you know, when you're 15 and, like, just no confidence. And I just...
Right.
Shaking. Like, yeah, you're shaking. You're like, I can do this in my head. And I walked past them. And they all took a step back.
Yeah.
And I knew, like, oh! I think they might be afraid of me.
And I thought, energy shift.
And I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. And that's not to say that particular instance stopped that abuse, but it did something for me. It shifted something for me that said, I am going to be okay. I am Kristen Ace. I am going to walk down these halls, and I am going to wear my pretty clothes, and I'm going to be who I am.
Yeah.
And it was mom.
You declared yourself.
That's right. So it didn't make anybody any more comfortable, but at least I started to feel like there wasn't something wrong with me.
Well, you got in touch with your power.
Right.
The power of who you are.
Right.
Your authentic self.
Yay!
Oh, wow. That is awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's something my mother did for me that is invaluable.
Yep. Yeah, I am really impressed with that story. I'm very inspired. I'm like, wee. I don't mean to get silly, but we've got to wrap this part up.
Okay,
because
right.
We're going to have Samantha on in just a couple of minutes. Right, actually, great. Not a couple of minutes, a couple seconds.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to that part. And here we go. And so today, my guest is Samantha Jones. She is a director in New York City. She is an improvisational teacher, coach. She has written her own solo shows and performed, I mean, in gobs of everything all over New York and in film, theater, you name it. She's done it. And so, hi, Sam. Welcome.
Hey. Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I'm excited to have you. The last time you and I were together was when you were directing my solo show, You Can Get There From Here. You can get somewhere from somewhere. I don't know where the hell it is.
No. What was that thing called again? Yes.
You can get there from here.
Right. I love it. Yeah, I miss that show. And I miss you. It's so fun to talk to you again.
Thank you. I feel the same way. I have to say that was some of the most amazing experiences I ever had as an actress working with a director ever. And I had been acting for, 25 years before I met you?
Yeah. So. I know. Well, it was such a nice process for you to trust me with that, too, because you have the show, and, you know, having someone bring their show to me that's, you know, well-developed and personal as that story was, I mean, it was just nice, too, to be a part of that with you.
Yeah, but that's also really hard to do, is to trust somebody with, remember what I said to you? I think I said, all right, I just, you know, this is like my baby. And you were like, I know. And everything's going to be fine. And I was like,
yeah,
okay.
I know. And it's so funny because, I mean, you know, pretty much, I mean, most people who I work with, that's how they feel. And it's amazing because you can imagine how personal someone's story is, or a person, their show or their song or their whatever they're doing is personal. But sometimes you really have to learn what personal means to a certain person, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, it's my baby, but it's like, okay, let me get to know you, then I'm going to understand your baby, you know?
That's right. But, you know, I think it also takes a certain kind of person to be able to do that, because I don't know that I could do that for somebody else. So I just want to ask you what started you in helping people with solo shows, of all things?
I know. Well, it's interesting. I did four of them. My first solo show, I think, was in the early 90s. And
by did them, do you mean that you performed them or you?
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote them. Well, let me say this. So I have this showbiz family, and my mother directed all my one woman shows because she's brilliant. And,
oh my God.
You know, reeled me in pretty well. And my sisters ended up writing for me as time marched on. And they were getting older. I mean, they're younger than me. So as I got older, they got older, and they started writing for me. And so I had four solo shows that were all produced in New York in various places around the city. And solo became a great platform for me, better than stand-up, which I'd done for 15 years.
Yeah, and I just want to say, remember you telling me I did stand-up, Kristen, because I never wanted to walk on stage and be afraid.
That's right.
I thought that was awesome.
It scared me to death. And the whole thing about the whole stand-up world is, you know, when you come into it, and I'm a relatively innocent kind of person, and I started stand-up when I was 19, and it's like you walk into these places and everyone seems to have all their lives together, and they know what they're talking about, and they're cool. and I was like, so not cool, you know? I mean, it was just the worst. And I knew I was funny. I'd always been funny, but I just didn't know how to be away and do a thing and talk about, you know, so you go through a period of talking about really dark stuff.
Right.
And that's not funny coming out of my face.
No.
You know, what's funny coming out of me is stories about me growing up in the city with my sisters or characters.
And all right, so but you have to, I have to interrupt you, and you have to tell everybody the story about running when your mother was annoyed with you. Where did you, because you had to run somewhere, didn't you?
Wait,
didn't you have to, didn't you have to go run someplace? Didn't you have to go run up to the Met or something?
Oh yes, yes, yes. Oh yes, yes. Yeah, this is how when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, or even in my early 20s, you know, I'd get, you know, rambunctious and kind of temperamental, as artists do, by the way.
Right.
Just say that. And so my mom's way of dealing with it was always to go run a mile. She's like, all right, time to run a mile. And I'm like, no, I don't want to run a mile. It could be in the middle of dinner. It didn't matter. Up, out the stable, go run around the Museum of Natural History down the street. I mean, it had, and just that made me even more annoyed. But by the time I got home, I was fine. I mean, it worked, you know?
So that's life growing up in New York City. Exactly. Go run around the Met, honey.
Right, exactly. Right. I'm not going to deal with you. Go run.
Well, that gives you lots of material for stand up. That's for sure.
So much material, but you know, you have to get perspective on your own growing up, you know, and realize how weird it was compared to everybody else's growing up. But well, the solo shows. I mean, you asked me, you know, why? Well, how did I get into all this stuff?
And right.
It's like, you know, I think that, you know, my journey of doing solo shows, you know, I mean, you grow so much when it's you by yourself for an hour and 20 minutes on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
You learn so much. And I continued to grow and continued to grow. And then my fascination with other people's stories was that most people don't even know where to begin. You know, they don't realize how significant their journeys are.
Well, and, I think that is the most important thing that needs to be said in the world, is that everybody has a really beautiful or poignant or important story, and that we're all here, and sharing those stories is what connects us in our humanity.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And even like people who write autobiographies, those are great, but there's something about the time that we're in where I want to see you in front of me,
right,
living this story. I want to feel it pound me in the face. I want to know that I'm not alone in the world.
Right.
And it's much more impactful having someone like your show where you're reliving so much of your growing up years on stage. And it was just, I mean, people were floored by it. And so that particular art form is fascinating to me. And anybody can do a one-person show. You don't even have to be an actor.
That's right.
You know, you just have to want to tell your story. That's it.
Right. Well, and that I think that's the gift that you bring, is to be able to help people pull that out of themselves with confidence, which is what, and also honoring that these people have something to say and that you can help them get from point A to point B with power.
Yes. Yeah. The main stuff with me is always empowering the person.
Right.
And it's the same with improv. I mean, the great thing about improv is that people come into my class thinking, oh, I'm just in this goofy improv class. But what they don't know is that I'm throwing them into an ensemble of people who are going to find a piece of themselves that they haven't played with in a really long time.
Right. And then that brings back some missing aspect that we tend to push away as we get into our adult years, and I don't feel that way, or I have to be serious, or I, you know, mm-hmm. It's improv is fun, but it also brings out your spontaneity, I think, which we're all dying for, I think, in a way, just to be spontaneous and free again, like we were when we were little.
Exactly. And people who, like, I deal with a lot of people in the corporate world, and they're all, you know, my resume has to look like this guy's resume. I have to dress like this person. And everybody has to be kind of this, you know, cookie cutter version of themselves. Whereas, you know, if they find out the most unique part of themselves, or at least remember what that piece of them is,
that's the perfect word.
It always comes out in play. I mean, if you and I, Kristen, went into your backyard and I said, okay, it's dusk, we're going to play a great game of hide and seek, just you and me, there are pieces of us that would come out that would be overexcited and screaming and sweaty. But we'd each have our own little way of winning that game, like it is. You know, they're the kids who are the followers, they're the kids who are the leaders, they're kids who are the creative ones, who are spontaneous. And it comes out in play. And then you look at it and go, why aren't I doing this in my day job? Why aren't I having more fun in my life? Why don't I play with my family more? Why don't I do... just live life more like who I truly am as opposed to who I think I'm supposed to be.
Well, that's like the most important thing that I think people need to remember is who I am, not who I'm supposed to be, not who I was made into through my childhood, not who I had to be to survive my childhood, because that's a lot of what my thing is, but who am I?
Yes.
Who am I?
Yes. Yes. And if you don't have parents who are really good at telling you who you are, you know, like I think you're a terrific mom with your kids. I think you tell your kids who they are. You remind them how wonderful they are. You are always telling them, and they maybe to the point where they're like, "Ah, mom." You know? but hey, what's the opposite? Kids grow up having no idea who they are.
Well, also there are the parents that tell you who you are, and that's not very nice. I mean, my parents told me I was a big fat loser. They were like, "Oh my God, why?" I mean, they didn't say you're a big fat loser, but they did say, "Why are you the way you are? Can you please stop being that way?"
Yeah.
You know,
but that was about them and who they are. It wasn't about who you are.
Right, of course. But that's that whole generation. And so we want to shed that skin. Like, I feel like I like became a snake and was like, all right, I got to fly out of that skin somehow and go into my other skin of who I really am.
Yeah. Well, and finding it on your own is a tremendous challenge.
But I also took, you know, improv classes and all kinds of went into the spiritual pursuits and all of that stuff that helped me shed the skin of what I had to be and come into who I am. And you and I did a lot of talking about spiritual messages when we were doing my show, because there's a lot of that in my show. Mm-hmm. And that was really, I think, for both of us, really exciting to just kind of delve into that world.
Oh, very exciting. And the whole concept of listening to the signs outside of yourself.
Right.
That are screaming at you, go left, you know, don't listen, you right. know. And, you know, I mean, that's what your show's about. Something that's like, you know, Kristen, you know, stop, run, or do these things. And you finally learning how to listen to that. And all of us have that on it. Oh, my gosh, there's so much of that. And I think this all this kind of spiritual woo-woo stuff that you and I could talk about for 800 years, it's all about listening.
Right.
You know, and being in the moment, 100% in the moment. And how do you do that?
Well, you went and did that for 9 days, didn't you?
Yes.
That blows my mind.
I know.
You didn't talk for 9 days.
I didn't talk. I wasn't allowed to look at anyone. I wasn't allowed to write in a journal. I couldn't read. All I could do was... I mean, I did the bare minimum of meditation. Bare minimum, Kristen. 7.5 hours a day.
Oh, bare my minimum. God. That's a bare minimum?
Yes, that was a bare minimum. There were people doing like 10 hours a day, you know, and I was like, I cannot. Because when you're doing that kind of focused meditation, where basically this particular method of meditation is helping you detach your emotions from what is true.
Mm.
So you're in the moment. Something's happening that's upsetting you. Okay, let's take the upset away and look at the thing. Let's just look at the thing.
Mm.
And when you look at the thing, it like blows all the wind out of the sails of what's going on, and you're actually able to function. And so, you know, 7.5 hours of that was enough. I had to just lie on my bed and stare at the ceiling the rest of the time. The highlight of my day was like taking my, like I'd eat my chewy vitamins, you know, that are like gummy bears. And, you know, I wasn't supposed to have those, but I was like, oh, this is delicious. Oh, now I'm going to take a hot shower. Oh, my God, you know what? Maybe I have a pair of pants I can wash and hang on the line. You know, I was like, what is this experience? But it helped me. You know, it helped me focus.
Well,
it really, really did.
Sadly, we have to wrap up. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
So here we are. We've talked about all the amazing things that you do with people to help them find out who they really are and let them know that they have a message that's uniquely theirs to bring out into the world.
Yeah.
So what is it that inspires you, and what message do you bring out into the world as Samantha Jones?
What inspires me and what message do I bring out into the world as Samantha Jones? I think my message is personal freedom.
Hmm.
Physical freedom, and I guess for me, the constant challenge to be who I am and constantly asking myself every day, are you being 100% Samantha Jones? You know, because I think I only figured out who that was probably not that long ago.
That's right.
And, you know, allowing myself to do that and make sure that I'm always being authentic and taking care of myself and being kind, you know.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful, Sam.
Thanks.
So we're going to wrap up, but I'm sure that our listeners would like you to come back. Because there's lots more to talk about, but I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate the inspiration that you bring into the world. And I really appreciate how you helped me raise my vibration with the work that you did with me. And I know that anybody else who comes to be with you will feel the same way.
Oh, thanks, Kristen. You're awesome.
Oh, thank you. So are you. Okay, everybody, well, that is the show today, and if you want to reach Samantha Jones, you can reach her at her website, which is www.therealsamanthajones.com, and that'll be on my blog, and you can click right to her from my blog. So everybody, go out and be your authentic selves, because there's no one else in the world like you.
To hear more great interviews and stories by Kristen, please visit GoodVibrationsWithKristen.com or find, like, and share Good Vibrations with Kristen on Facebook and tell Kristen about your inspiring stories.